On April 19, as Pentagon officials continued to insist that there were enough troops to do the job and that commanders on the ground agreed with them, Major General Mattis, one of the senior U.S. military commanders in Iraq, noted in an internal message that the incoming Army occupation force lacked sufficient numbers of troops. The lack of Army dismounts, regular infantry, is creating a void in personal contact and public perception of our civil-military ops, Mattis wrote. At month's end, despite the concerns about the lack of troops, the Marines were told to execute previously existing plans to pull out and head home. Most of us were flabbergasted to be told to leave Baghdad at the end of April, recalled Marine Colonel John Tulin. I turned over my sector, which was East Baghdad, to 2nd ACR, Armored Cavalry Regiment, which had about one-fifth the capability of my regiment. Even before he left Iraq, Tulin recalled Mattis, his commander, took him aside and said he thought that the situation was deteriorating and that the Marines would be pulled back into Iraq eventually. Don't lose sight of what you've learned, he recalled Mattis telling him, because you're going to need to get your guys ready to come back. Off the top of his head, Mattis picked November 10, an easily remembered date because it's the Marine Corps' birthday, as the target date by which he wanted his troops to be ready to head back to Iraq. In fact, the deployment order would arrive on November 7. Publicly, at least, all was going well. One of the roles of a president is to provide strategic context, to explain how the public, and especially how subordinate officials, should think about a situation. On May 1, 2003, President Bush ostentatiously flew in a Navy combat aircraft to the USS Abraham Lincoln, an aircraft carrier steaming off the coast of Southern California. The day is remembered, somewhat unfairly, as the occasion of Bush's mission accomplished speech. Bush never used that phrase, which was hanging prominently on a huge banner displayed on the ship's island, the tower where the captain and the flight controllers operate, so that television cameras focused on the president would pick it up. But his comments were in line with that theme. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended, he began, standing on the ship's flight deck. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed. He did nod toward the operations that remained, which he seemed to characterize as a mop-up job. We have difficult work to do in Iraq. We're bringing order to parts of that country that remain dangerous. We're pursuing and finding leaders of the old regime who will be held to account for their crimes. We've begun the search for hidden chemical and biological weapons, and already know of hundreds of sites that will be investigated. Doing all this, and establishing democracy, will take time, but it is worth every effort. And, as he often would do in discussing Iraq in public, he circled back to the 9/11 attacks, clearly his starting point on the road to Baghdad. The Battle of Iraq is one victory in a war on terror that began on September 11, 2001, he said.